Yeah, I'm drunk again. I celebrating my best friend's birthday, and like I get some beers and some vodka, some Long Island iced tea, and yeah, it's good time, good time. Yeah. Had to record this Paleobites patron recorded message, and I've already done one that's drunk, but I thought I'd do one again. And I mean, if we do this kind of thing over and over and over and over and over, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for the podcast Paleobites, where we discuss pop culture. about prehistoric animals. And last month we talked about Godzilla Minus One, and this month we're talking about the Google Chrome. Yeah, the internet browser. I said what I said. So last month, Godzilla Minus One, really, really good. The Godzilla movies. They did good. Good job, Japan. You did good. And then Google Chrome. Good job. I was about to say Bill Gates, but this is Microsoft. He did Edge, and no one uses Edge. The link is in the description. But you can sign up to the Patreon for your support. And have a good day.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that can only be enjoyed with a joint of hallucinogenia. My name's Matthew Donald. Each week, I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who actually doesn't need any joints of hallucinogenia to enjoy this. Sober as a priest on Sunday.
That's fairly accurate, yes. Hello, pleasure to be here.
yes. Me too. Actually, I don't really like drinking even, or like the kind of stuff. I've gotten tipsy before, and I've actually gotten close to being drunk before. I didn't like it.
I've been, I call it drunk, but by my standards, that's different from everyone else's standards. I was like on the fringe of tipsy going into, it's not fun.
I like being a little tipsy, but like any more than that, like I'm just, and also I take medication. And also, here's the important thing. I don't like the taste of alcohol.
Thank you. Someone agrees with me.
Maybe some people don't, and they're like, oh, I can live with it because I just like being drunk. I'm like, no, I don't like it. No.
Sometimes I'll have a little sip of mead or a little sip of Bailey, something that I think tastes good.
You know, there's one that has a bunch of alcohol in it that I think tastes good. This is what gets me pretty much close to drunk every time is a Long Island iced tea.
Yes, I've heard that one's dangerous.
It's so good though, because it covers it, even though it's like got rum, vodka, ginger ale, and like beer, and like all this other stuff just like put together. There's also a lot of sweet stuff in it, and so it hides it very well. And it's very delicious. Mm. And I will have one sometimes and be like, I am drunk.
I'll stick with a virgin pina colada, thank you.
I'll stick with soda, which also is bad for you, but for different reasons.
At least you can't kill brain cells on soda.
You could just kill stomach acid.
There you go.
just kill any sense of looking ripped. Anyway, I'll never forget that time, though, that after, like, I think I've told this before, that, like, after filming the shirtless scene in Man of Steel, after Henry Cavill had spent, like, all that time eating just eggs and chicken and other and protein shakes and then working out. He filmed the shirtless scene. Zack Snyder was like, good job, buddy. Gave him a pizza and burger, cheeseburger.
He earned it. That's excellent. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence said she loved filming the Hunger Games because they were so physically demanding that she could eat whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
But because, you know, she'd just go work it off while filming the next day.
Right. That's why my diet is a lost cause. So I've been trying to be more active. I've been working out 3 times a week now.
Well, you can always fine tune it
a little bit, but like, I don't know. I just, with an autism, I like eating and drinking the same things all the time and not stressing about that too much. So. Mm-hmm. Although I am on my, I call it Fat Boy quest to try every variant of Mountain Dew in the world. And boy, there are a lot. Some of them specific to certain countries.
Really?
Like Kuwait has their own Mountain Dew.
I didn't realize Mountain Dew was so prolific. That's interesting.
There's one in Spain. There's some in Cambodia. It's just Mountain Dew's everywhere. Nice. There's some specific to certain places. Like even in America, there's some that are like only specific to certain locations. Like there's some that like they're only in certain restaurants that are only on certain parts of the U.S. So like Circle K has their own variant called Purple Power or something. And like, of course, there's Baja Blast from Taco Bell. So,
well, you're a Mountain Dew connoisseur.
I am a Mountain Dew connoisseur. Go have fun with it. Mountain Dew, and Dew rhymes with sinew, and Tenontosaurus means sinew lizard.
Sinew lizard.
Mountain sinew.
The way you said that, I was like, snoo? What's a snoo?
Snoo.
Is this a Dr. Seuss word?
It's a
that
Snoopy,
I...
yeah. Tenontosaurus, a.k.a. cannon fodder to Deinonychus the dinosaur. Only exists to get torn apart.
This poor dinosaur.
Type it as an iguanodontid ornithopod. Although its exact placement has gone around a bunch over the years, the ornithischians are kind of wonky. Do you know that the term Hypsilophodont isn't valid anymore?
Really?
There's like all the ones we thought related, like Dryosaurus, Hypsilophodont, Lineosaur, they're from different families that just happen to look the same.
Oh, darn.
So, yeah, like they're all just different ornithischians.
I'll need to double check my Smithsonian or my Princeton field guide to see if they've changed that or not.
Sort of like how pro sauropod is no longer a thing. It's sauropodomorphs now, or basal sauropodomorphs. Mm. I don't know. It's like there's other ones that are like that. but yeah, so size 20 to 23 feet, so 67 meters long, most of which is its tail. Had a really long tail, this one. You'd think it could use to whack away Deinonychus, but I guess not.
Just couldn't handle it, no.
No, 1,300 to 2,200 pounds, 600 to 1,000 kilograms. Was an herbivore. Lived in the early Cretaceous, 115 to 108 million years ago. Location all throughout North America. It was described in 1970, pop culture appearances. It was mentioned in the original Jurassic Park novel by Alan Grant when he explains to Ian Malcolm about coordinated attack behavior in raptors, yes. Such as when it's torn apart by Deinonychus. It's also featured a tie-in comic in the Jurassic Park movie where Grant and Ellie Sattler find some Tenontosaurus fossils, and Grant theorizes that the bones are from a specimen that had been eaten after being torn apart by Deinonychus.
Just in case you didn't know, folks.
it's also in the Dinoverse books where it's torn apart by Deinonychus. And the TV show Jurassic Park Jurassic Fight Club, where it's minding its own business until it's torn apart by Deinonychus. Then it's also featured in the video game The Isle, where you can play as one and presumably get it torn apart by other players playing as Deinonychus. This thing can't catch a damn break.
Literally every children's book that you open that has this dinosaur has that scene where it's like, torn apart by Deinonychus. Yes, exactly.
Just you can hear in that scene, just poor Deinonychus squealing in fear.
I actually saw the original. I saw the aftermath. I went to the Museum of the Rockies.
Oh yes,
and they have a Tenontosaurus anyway. Yes. And like they had done a whole study on like the way its body. It's kind of gruesome. The way its body was positioned when it died suggested that it had suffocated after being torn apart by Deinonychus. So it's like,
just like
wow.
Deinonychus ate one thing, and Tenontosaurus was eaten by one thing. It's sort of like Protoceratops and Velociraptor. But at least that one, that rivalry felt more even. Right. Like, also, like Protoceratops, why is it always sprayed on by Velociraptor? Gigantoraptor was there. It could pluck one of the Protoceratops off the ground.
Probably, yeah.
I guess Tarbosaurus is there too. So
I think it's because we found both the Velociraptor and the Protoceratops locked in that death grip.
Yeah, which is such a cool fossil.
I know. Of all the times for them to die, right. It was right then.
There's this great piece of artwork of Tenontosaurus that I might make the main image of this episode. That's the reverse Uno card, where you see a Tenontosaurus chewing on the remains of a dead Deinonychus. Probably some herbivores do that, you know, like deer sometimes lick the blood off of certain. They just get some iron if they need it.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, so I'm probably sure it's just for revenge.
It would be vengeance, yes. So,
leave Tenontosaurus alone, Deinonychus. There are other animals there.
So, question.
Yes.
Was it one Deinonychus that took down the Tenontosaurus?
Oh, no, it was a bunch, apparently.
I read that they think Dromaeosaurus didn't.
Yeah, they don't think they hunted in packs anymore, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they couldn't team up on occasion and then split apart when they killed the thing. Like, let's see, like Tenontosaurus, like, yeah, it's Yeah, because like we find that the reason why we don't think some of the dromaeosaurs or like all the dromaeosaurs were pack animals anymore is because we have found that the young eat different food than the adults. And if they were in a pack, like a social structure, you'd think they'd eat the same thing.
That would make it simpler.
So unfortunately, but I don't know. But then it was found with a bunch of them, I think. So, but again, maybe it was just they're all teaming up against them and they all died. I don't know. Either way,
it just didn't end well for the Tenontosaurus.
And it sounds like the skeletons for the Deinonychus were there too. It didn't end well for them either. They were so focused on tearing apart that.
Did they get hit with a mudslide or something?
Possibly. I don't know. To be fair, I don't know. Okay, so teeth and a number of skeletons belonging to the carnivorous theropod Deinonychus have often been discovered associated with Tenontosaurus remains. Tenontosaurus specimens have been found at over 50 sites. 14 of them also contain Deinonychus remains.
Good lord.
Okay.
So Deinonychus was just out to get Tenontosaurus.
Well, that's the thing. According to one 1995 study, only 6 sites containing Deinonychus fossils contain no trace of Tenontosaurus fossils. They're only so like I mean I get it. Like, was the other animals they Sauropelta, that Nodosaur? That's kind of hard for a Deinonychus to get.
Right.
What else would have been there? Like.
Well, there were other duckbills and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess. Acrocanthosaurus was there. That could have torn apart Tenontosaurus in a different way, though.
Yes, yes.
So, this poor thing. Oh, man. But, you know, look, to be fair, it's one of those nice, like, some people really need to give the ornithopods some slack because they are the least defended ones of. Easily defendable ones of all their family. Because, like, when you imagine T-Rex, it obviously usually goes after Edmontosaurus. Mm-hmm. Triceratops, it's the classic battle, but that's just a hard fight. It's not worth it if an Edmontosaurus is there.
Right.
Let's see what else would be with the Ankylosaurus, no chance. So there is a sauropod there, Alamosaurus, but I don't think T-Rex was designed to kill sauropods with its crushing bite.
Maybe a small one, or if it was caught in a tar pit or something.
Because, like, that's why the Allosaurus had a ripping skull, but ripping skulls meant for ripping, while T-Rex had skulls meant for crushing, which doesn't work well against sauropods. It wasn't built for that.
Fair.
But I think there are several scenes in my Megazord books, which, to be fair, they have guns in that too, but sometimes they don't, where I want to show the strength of ornithopods. That one of my favorite parts I've written is in the third book where Belar, the Edmontosaurus, he gets the long story. He doesn't have his gun on him. I won't spoil exactly why. Then this robot is fighting one of his friends, this giant robot, and he's like, okay, I don't have a gun, but I am still a 6-ton dinosaur.
Right.
And so he goes up to it and just rips it with his bare hands because he's still just – because they have muscles and they have like
there was a book called The Dinosaur 4. I don't know if you heard of that one.
I've not heard of it.
It was self-published on online and it's really weird. But I read it. It starts in Denver, and there's these people in a coffee shop by happenstance get beamed into the Cretaceous, and there's this really obnoxious woman who's trying to take over the group, and there's a herd of duckbills across the river. Mm-hmm. Well, the male gets really defensive and runs over and proceeds to squash her.
Oh, yes.
So,
well, it's like in Prehistoric Planet, they do a good job with the Dreadnoughtus. Have you seen Prehistoric Planet at all? Because you don't have Apple Plus, do you? So.
I've seen some of it. I haven't. Yeah. I've seen.
There's the fight between the two Dreadnoughtus.
Yeah, I saw that one. Brutal. I saw. Yeah, those huge animals.
Slamming each other like elephant seals.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you could deliver a lot of force.
Yeah, like, then they have those little thumb claws too. Especially with this version, it has those horrible pop-up balloon things on its neck.
I was wondering, do they really have evidence?
No, that
neck,
was so just added purely. That?
Oh, come on.
I hate I don't usually have tryptophobia, but that triggered some tryptophobia in me that I didn't know I had before. All I can imagine was a carnivore or something poking it and popping it.
Right? Yeah. You know, you wouldn't pop it in the middle of a fight. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No.
And then,
no,
hated those things.
I don't like unnecessary embellishments. If
it's okay to a point, but like that I put on the same sort of thing as the Dilophosaurus frill.
It really is the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Yeah, it's a very prominent bodily function that has no evidence.
Yeah, exactly. So no, nay, I say.
Nay.
But Tenontosaurus, I mean, look, some of them I've seen, like, there was a design for some creature in, like, the Isle or something that was, like, an ornithopod, kind of like Tenontosaurus, and it was covered in hypothetical feathers, and it was beautiful the way they did it. Like it was, like, it had crests, it had, like, different bits that were, like, going outwards, like, long crests. So, like, part, it wasn't just covered in fuzz. They were, like, the head and, like, the elbows had, like, long feathers coming out of it, and it was beautiful.
That's fun.
I don't mind stuff like that. Like it's sort of like Psittacosaurus. We think it had those weird quills on its tail that doesn't seem to be anywhere else. I think if I ever did a Megazoic movie, because there's a prominent Psittacosaurus character in those things, I would have that he would have feathers as well as the quills. So he'd have like a tail fan, like the raptors, but he would have scales elsewhere. Maybe he'd have a little bit of feathers on his back and sort of stuff. But because I just don't think that makes sense for the quill to have those quills, and then not have any other feathers.
And then nothing. Biology is filled with all sorts of weird things like that.
I mean, it's true. I mean, like.
Yeah.
Concavenator is the weirdest one.
I can't figure out that weird half hump thing. Like, what is that?
Well, the people have said, like, look, there's another dinosaur called Ichthyovenator that is like a spinosaur that has a sail, but the sail has a dip in one part that's actually the same place as the concavenator is. So people are like, oh, they're like puzzle pieces. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's hilarious. Are you sure we're not just missing fossils at that point?
I don't know. Like, possibly.
Come on. That's so weird.
Also, if you look at, like, people say, well, it's like a hump, like a camel. If you look at a camel skeleton, the hump is not part of the skeleton.
That's also
pure fact.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, that's not, no.
So, like,
it's very bizarre to me.
Yeah, anyways, Tenontosaurus. It's long tail is very interesting. It had, like, I think the longest tail compared to its body of any other dinosaur, non-long-neck dinosaur.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe even long necks, because long necks also had long necks, so it counteracted the other sort of stuff. But, like, I'm trying. Now, the tail was, like, almost four times the length of the rest of the body, I think. So, like,
four times as long as the
something
body.
Like that. It's perfect for whipping.
With a whip like that, you could have defended yourself.
Yeah,
what
perfect
went wrong?
For Deinonychus coming up, and he's like, no, I refuse.
What's he just? Was he a pacifist? Is that why they
keep
getting
mauled? Yeah, they're like the whales in Avatar.
Right, exactly.
They don't fight back.
Except for that one who's like, screw it.
Pao Kahn.
Right.
I like that they made the Matakaina or whatever, like teal.
Very aqua color. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they gave him different hands and tails. Anyways, speaking of tails, Tenontosaurus. Imagine this thing had like a fin at the end of its tail. Perfect for slapping Tenontosaurus. Not Tenontosaurus. Deinonychus. Sorry, I just can't get over. Like, I have never seen two other dinosaurs, other than maybe Velociraptor and Protoceratops, that are such a clear rivalry with one another. But except, again, like I said, Velociraptor and Protoceratops, that's more even.
Right.
Tenontosaurus just getting bullied.
Velociraptor and Protoceratops were locked neck to neck.
Yeah. Tenontosaurus is just like, it has no defense other than its long tail.
The tail it refuses to use.
And tail refuses to use. Deinonychus, the fact that Deinonychus is found from so many different sites, and all but like eight of them, they said, have only six of them don't have Tenontosaurus. It's just being mean. It's doing it on purpose.
That's just they have a vendetta against Tenontosaurus. Like it was like the Hatchfields and the McCoys of dinosaurs.
Right, exactly. Which means it was like the Capulets and whatever the other family.
Yeah, the Montagues and the Capulets. Yeah,
which means the love story, classic forbidden romance between a Deinonychus and a Tenontosaurus.
Okay, now you have to write that.
I have to write
a prequel.
I should.
Oh yes, that's fantastic.
Bring the families together, or tear them apart. Because instead of him dying from poison,
it's going to be a very tragic, rather bloody ending.
Instead of dying from poison, it's like from a sickle claw or something, and then the other one kills himself. I don't know. I don't know how.
Oh god.
Anyways, there is some animals though that have or different organisms that have that this isn't necessarily symbiotic, of course, because it's the one that's not a source of fear. But there's like a hummingbird in somewhere in some tropical area, I think it might be the Amazon, that has an incredibly long bill. way too long to fit in most flowers, except for one flower.
One particular flower,
which has such a deep amount of nectar that only this hummingbird can get to it. They are built for each other.
Right.
And the reason it's that way is beneficial for both, because that means the hummingbird has no competition for getting the nectar. And then they know that the hummingbird is going to go to another flower.
Right.
And therefore,
it'll pollinate with that.
It'll pollinate rather than going to other flowers or other species. So it's beneficial for both. But that's just like, if one of them changes, man. If something environment changes.
Is it possible that there was something about Tenontosaurus that Deinonychus could eat?
I imagine it was very prolific. There was just always more of it. What am I saying about?
I was just wondering, trying to extrapolate from your point. Was there something about Tenontosaurus that was really, really helpful for they were extra rich in iron or something.
Maybe something like that. But again, look at the other animals, Sauropelta, like armor, you know, and then you got some there's some sauropods like Astrodon and there'll be some other ornithopods, I think Brachylophosaurus was from this time and place. But they were bigger. So this was the perfect middle ground, easy one for Deinonychus to hunt, I guess. So
it's like a cougar going after a deer versus a rabbit.
Yeah. Exactly. Or instead of a moose.
Right.
I've said this multiple times on the show, but it's funny every time whenever I say, did I tell you what the chief predator of moose is? Orca.
Orca,
as in killer whale.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you're right, because
Alaska, there's those islands that the moose, because moose are great swimmers, and so they can go from island to island, and then orcas.
You think you're so tough?
Both of them are artiodactyls. So evolution's weird.
Nature is so bizarre.
It really is. Okay, so let's look into what Deinonychus, before we rate this poor thing, 65 million, out of respect, pay our respects this morning time. Let's look at Deinonychus and the formation that Deinonychus is from and see what other prey it could have had and why the hell was it always bullying poor Deinonychus. So, Deinonychus, let's see, what is from, I've done this formation, this, it's, what's formation is it from? The Cloverly Formation, the Antlers Formation. So let's look at the Cloverly Formation here. Achelops, which is a really cute Cetacosaurid-like relative.
Cute.
Yeah, have you seen Achelops here? Yeah. Zephyrosaurus, another one like a Tenontosaurus. Sauropelta.
Yeah, I was just looking at Zephyrosaurus.
Yeah, that one could also have been, No, but then what about the Antlers Formation? Well, that one just has let's see, Rayfin fish, reptiles. Ornithischian, Tenontosaurus, Acrocanthosaurus, Astrodon, Sauroposeidon. So
speaking of which,
Deinonychus, I mean, obviously there would have been more than what we've discovered, but it sounds like it didn't really have a lot more options. Tenontosaurus was just perfect for.
So unless there's some other animal that we haven't discovered yet.
But it seems like it's like zebras versus lions or Thompson gazelle or whatever versus lions. Well, no, lions go after a bunch of things.
They have all kinds of ungulates. Is that the
right ungulates? Yeah. Wolves always go after deer or bison or guess or it's weird to see one predator always going after one animal.
No, I'm talking, the Tenontosaurus said something rude about the Deinonychus' mother.
And then they've regretted it
forever.
It's just a grudge. It said, dinosaur revolution, my ass. You think you're so cool, Deinonychus? I've got a long tail. What do you got? Changing the knowledge of humans, knowledge of dinosaurs forever? Look at my tail, bro.
How do you like your tail when you're dead? No.
Exactly. Thus it began. Or, whatever started the Hatfields and McCoys, right, where they were fighting over the gold in the area or something.
My cycads.
Yes, my cycads. Well, no, I mean, the Deinonychus wouldn't care about the cycads.
Unless they made Psycad champagne out of it.
Yeah, that's true. They could have done that. Or they could have farmed the Psycads to lure in the Tenontosaurus there. It's like they're sheep. Just come by. this poor guy. This poor, poor guy. Let's rate him 1 out of 65 million. I'm going to rate. Look, other than his hilarious relationship with Tenontosaurus, not really much notable about this thing other than its long tail. So I'm going to give it like a 19 million. Sorry, Tenontosaurus.
I'm going to give it a 30 million sympathy vote.
Yeah.
Mean, like this poor guy, like you cannot think of Tenontosaurus without thinking him getting ripped apart. So
yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. Oh, God.
Anyways, wasn't there a Tenontosaurus in Land Before Time? Was it one? Remember the third movie where there were those bullies and they were kind of ornithopod ones? There was, I think one of them was called Mutt, which implied he was a Mutterbergosaurus.
I always thought they looked. Right. One of them, I think, might have been. Yeah. Because
they were named after their species, Hip, Mutt, and something else. And so, hold on. Land Before Time. This is very important stuff.
It's been so long since I've seen them, especially the third one.
1995 was that one came out. Okay, so hold on. Hip Nod is the other one. So
like a Nodosaur.
Okay, so there is no Mutt. I apologize. No, there is Mutt. It's Jeff Bennett. I know the voice actor. So. All right. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewcreator.com. Wait, that's my personal email. You can contact me at paleobitespodcast@gmail.com, at paleobitespod on Twitter.
Now they know where to find you.
No, I mean, look, I've said it for 150 episodes before this, so it's like, it's fine, whatever. And paleobitespodcast on Instagram. Where can they find you?
You can find me at stephenccurro.com, stephenccurro.com. That's where you can find access to my novelette, The Spark, as well as a few other short stories and poems.
Nice. Yes. Very much. Good. I have some stories in Megazoic available for print and Kindle. I just checked. There is no Tenontosaurus in it. Although I were to add it, it would be in the Omega Squad, one that always dies.
And let me guess, he'd be fighting Tyrannian Squad. Yes. With Deinonychus.
Yes, of course. Then even with guns, it still does can't do it. Don't get no respect.
Tripping over his own tail.
Yeah, exactly. Just oh man. That's it for this week. I can say the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. All right, don't get no respect.
No respect. No respect at all.
I want to see Five. Where are you going? Five Nights at Freddy's. We'll enjoy the movie. Well, what movie? Bye.